Fly down, rainbows in the sky, let's fly away. Like a bird, you're free to see the boundless face of the earth. Let the wind blow you like a kite and glide.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Destructo Discourse. This is a Dragon Ball Z Rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and joining me for the discourse on this episode is Matt.
Hey!
Aaron.
Hey!
And Jason.
Why? Is that not what we were doing? Okay. Just trying to follow the...
So how y'all doing?
Good.
Just
all
feeling
better.
Enjoying some anime.
Yes, I have definitely been enjoying episodes of hit anime Dragon Ball Z.
Some really feel-good ones,
looking...
too.
Yeah, I enjoyed them quite a bit.
Sir, this chunk of episodes, they might have as well just slapped a label on the front that just said, for Jason's.
I enjoyed them watching them, and I even distinctly thought, I will enjoy these much more when I watch them again, not sad.
Oh, that's a mood.
Yeah.
But these episodes were pure, for me, pure goddamn catnip. These were crockpot meatballs in a great jelly sauce. I'm just like, well, maybe I'll have another.
Like a shining, golden, naked bathtub man.
We get a taste of a show that I wish I would trade everything in this world to get episodes of a show.
Just a sitcom?
Not even that, but we'll get to it.
My question, though,
this show. It's called Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing.
Like, I was thinking about it while watching these, and I was like, why do I like these so much? And I was like, oh yeah, it's because it's everything that Dragon Ball Super does really well. It's just everybody enjoying their lives together.
And just having fun and goofing off.
That's so good. I can't wait to do that.
Mm-hmm. Instead, we can't wait
for your epilogue episodes.
These episodes are aspirational. Someday, we too will mosey on down the road and get 14 scoops of ice cream.
Someday, just carry them in my arms like a bunch of cold, wet babies.
My question is, you know, what color is your parachute? What's in your cone? What are you scooping? For me, it is coffee ice cream. All the way.
Ooh, raspberry chocolate chip.
Ooh, Graters?
Yes,
thank you.
Obviously.
Yes. There was only one right answer for that.
Cake batter.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's a classy one.
Birthday cake or
non-specific?
Non-denominational cake batter.
It's carrot cake batter ice cream. If I have the money for it, I'm gonna get every flavor though, for sure.
Yeah, right? All of them. Matt, tell me what's in your legendary scoop shake.
Just bacon grease.
Yeah.
Like a soup?
That got me.
You ordered the That just... got him.
Just get a scoop of me.
I can just hear it, and it's making me very unhappy. Just hearing
my brain just went, what's the most disgusting flavor of ice cream you can think of?
Soon to be available at Jenny's.
Have you guys ever been late for anything?
Constantly.
Most of my schooling.
Did you ever come up with a great excuse for why you were late?
Never once.
No. Define excuse.
I'm so bad at it.
The reason for your tardiness.
I have a good one of those.
What is it?
Ooh, yeah.
Well, you see, it has to do with virtue ethics.
Uh-huh.
And in virtue ethics, you know, you strive to embody virtues that make you a good person.
Certainly.
Mm-hmm. And, right. And, you know, that derives on an idea of character traits, and the idea that there are good and bad character traits. I argue that there are neutral character traits that are good in some circumstances and bad in others, and one of mine is that I'm very able to pay attention to the world around me and devoted to talking to the people in front of me and not the people who, you know, are not in front of me. I'm in the moment.
Whether or not those distant people are more commanding of your attention.
Right, and when I'm talking to you, you can know that I'm, like, really paying attention to you. The downside to that is I often forget about the people who aren't directly in front of me. And so end up late. But when I'm there, I'm 100% there.
The shepherd of seconds slips by you, undetected.
Yeah, you can't catch me, shepherd.
I don't know if this is a compliment or not, but that does seem like a very Goku-like trait.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's just a trait that is.
It's a neutral trait. It exists, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. There are good things about it and bad things about it.
Certainly.
Don't have any good... I don't have any excuse that he's either good or funny. One thing that actually did happen was the fact that, like, the way to my work is, like, through really, like, one or two, like, small roads that you just have to take for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, this entire road, for a very crucial pinpoint of it, an important intersection was under construction. So the only solution was to go all the way around. I didn't come up with a good excuse, I just explained the situation that was. And luckily, there was a coworker of mine who lives in my apartment complex, and she was just like, Jason, I'm so mad. Because she takes the same route, and she usually gets there ahead of me. Not today, though. None of us were ahead of anyone. But usually I just say, oh man, traffic was just nuts, I'm sorry.
I am habitually late to everything. I can get to work 30 minutes early and still clock in 5 minutes late. I don't know how. It's just a problem.
I believe it. I've done that.
But when when legitimate things do come up, I am very quick to just, like, shine a spotlight on it. Like, one time, a semi-truck fell off of a bridge onto the interstate I was taking. And caused a gigantic traffic jam. Yeah, just...
Yeah, it would.
I don't know how.
From the sky?
Yeah.
From above?
Yes. The semi-truck.
Oh!
It descended upon... That's terrible.
Does that happen a lot in Tennessee?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
It's just the one
Matthew,
time.
Matthew, how many other times have you been Final Destination'd? Is this a concern?
Only 17 that I can think of off the top of my head. Is that a lot?
I'll get back to you.
It's fine.
But yeah, I took tons of pictures while I was just sitting in front of this flipped over semi truck and texted to my boss. Like,
you definitely want to provide proof.
Like, there's nothing, but my hands are tied. I can't do anything.
Like, this time for real.
I would have been there on time this time, but no.
To this point, you had been known as the boy who cried semi. So it is important to get proof in that case. Honesty has always been my policy, and if I am late for something, odds are it's because I was asleep at a time I shouldn't have been.
I mean, that's real. Sometimes I don't go to sleep very well naturally. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, make an extant effort to go to bed. I'm just gonna get ready and go to bed. No. What happens to me is I'll just rest my eyes for 5 minutes, and then I blink, and it is 4 in the morning, and I am fully dressed and on the couch and just in a daze.
What happened?
Did I take my pills? Nope. Did I brush my teeth? Uh-uh. But it's 4. It's called time travel.
Would you guys like to discuss episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah.
This week,
All right.
yeah.
we're covering episodes 286 287 and 288.
Three of my favorite flavors.
Oh, yes.
Episode 286, the English title is Spirit Bomb Triumphant.
Woo!
The Japanese title roughly translates to Son Goku is strongest after all. Majin Buu is eliminated.
You had your doubts.
I mean, we kind of...
Vegeta did. Already gave us his whole speech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Goku's number one. Goku is ready to launch the spirit bomb, and Buu is freaking out a little bit.
That's normal. That's a normal thing to be worried about.
It's a big ball of energy that this enemy has got.
Mm-hmm. Vegeta can't move anymore.
There's a trend I noticed in this episode that I don't think I noticed before, where they kept saying, launch the spirit bomb.
Yeah.
Like it's a missile. Did they ever do
that? I'm going to bring that up.
I feel like they were always like, throw it or toss it or something like that.
Sometimes they say fire, I think.
Yeah.
Like firing a Kamehameha. I don't think they say launching a Kamehameha.
No.
True.
It's already formed, though, which is important.
Right.
That is the very important part here.
Vegeta cannot move anymore, and he is stuck in the line of fire.
Uh-oh.
He's just too tuckered out.
He's been beaten to poop and back.
And he throws a little hissy fit about it.
An unexpected journey.
Yeah.
He is beaten, he is bloodied, which means he's at less than half health.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns
to Goku considerably less than half health.
Considerably less, yeah. I think an at-will would take him out. He turns to Goku and says, do the damn thing, Kakarot!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he even, you know, pounds his little fists.
Do it!
As much of a temper tantrum as he can throw.
I wanna!
With 1% state. Energy.
I mean, it's how he got to Super Saiyan.
He says, damn it, Kakarot, be a true Saiyan and just throw it.
Just enough with your mercy already. You already did that at me.
I'm trying to do the thing you did against Raditz, the big heroic sacrifice. Don't take this away from me.
this goes into that kind of shit that, like, back when, like, Goku was talking about, like, fight training with King Kai. It's like, no, I'm not a Saiyan. I'm not like one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this parallel where Vegeta's like, be a true Saiyan and, you know, sacrifice me to...
Murder
to
me!
Achieve the sentimental BS. And that's when we need to really, like, reiterate that Goku is a Saiyan, but he's also not really a Saiyan.
Nope.
Not really a true Saiyan.
And he...
That's what makes him...
He's an Earth lad.
An Eartho at heart.
He just can't do it. He apologizes to Vegeta. He cannot throw it when he is in the way.
I thought for half a second when he apologized that he was
that he was about to throw it.
Right?
Like, clutched my pearls.
My bad. Oh shit!
I'm so glad he didn't though.
Boo realizes Goku's hesitation and he just kind of waves at him and calmly walks over to use Vegeta as a shield.
The eternal shit-stirrer Boo.
While standing on Vegeta's back, Boo begins to fire ki blasts at Goku's body to try to make him drop the spirit bomb.
This is really good.
I like that the first one has an effect of giving Goku a nice little peekaboo chest hole,
uh-huh.
You know? Just a fashionable... A little boob window, mm-hmm. as they say, and then the rest just are blocked by Goku's toughness.
Yep, his machismo.
Machismo, because it's
machismo.
Mr. Boo staggers to his feet and he begins to limp over to Kid Boo, and Mr. Satan is so happy to see that he's okay, but Mr. Boo just slaps him out of the way.
Yeah.
Boo, this is not how you treat your friends.
That's not how we hug.
It's okay, he's got a mission.
He is on a mission.
His eyes are locked on his evil past self. He's worked through his anger, he's worked through his bad impulses, now he's got to get to the core of the self he's denied.
Ooh.
Kid Boo begins launching even bigger blasts at Goku, who has to start using instant transmission to just quickly dodge out of the way and then pop back in place so that the bomb doesn't dissipate.
So cool.
Probably very taxing.
That... Yeah.
I love that that Kid Buu is like mimicking the motion of having to make the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Carrying a big ball of energy on his back.
Mr. Buu charges at Kid Buu, and he headbutts him off of Vegeta, and then pins the Kid Buu to the ground.
Yeah!
Fuck him up!
He calls back to Hercule, and he tells him to save him, and Vegeta...
He says, grab him, I think, because uh-huh. Hercule is confused.
You already got him!
You already done got grabbed! You're the grabber here, not me.
You're now a grabber.
He realizes that he's speaking about Vegeta, so he rushes over and picks him up and gets him out of the way.
Satan with the clutch. Satan with the clutch.
Again.
Satan with the clutch.
It's he's all he does.
Great at bringing people in and out of battle scenes.
He is incredible at just running into the line of fire.
Yep.
The ultimate support unit.
Yeah.
I love him. I love him so much.
He is the best at Dr. Dodgeball.
You're so right. Oh my gosh.
Kid Buu blasts the other Buu off of him, but with nothing standing in his way anymore, Goku throws the spirit bomb at Kid Buu.
Whoosh.
And then it's finally over.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
We still got 20 more minutes of runtime. Hang on. Hold up.
Kid Buu does start throwing ki blasts at it ineffectually, which did remind me of Bardock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Just
a good...
the scope of it.
I love when a ki blast is just so big, like, it doesn't even flinch mm-hmm. as it runs into a mountain or another ki blast.
Mm-hmm. It's wall.
It does flinch when it runs into Kid Buu.
Mm-hmm. Well.
Who begins to hold it in place.
I mean, who wouldn't?
I love the sensation of, what? It did it? Not even that works?
But it's got all this energy.
It's literally the last thing.
He grabs it and holds it in place. I'm like, he can't do that.
Stop it.
Can he do that?
Is this allowed?
Yeah, wait, he can't do it because he's evil.
Right.
He'll destroy anybody who isn't pure of heart.
So we thought.
But
he's just so purely evil.
He's more evil than the spirit bomb is good.
This begins a back and forth between Goku and Kid Buu, who are each trying to push the bomb at each other.
Just a struggle of wills.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate game of hot potato.
The hottest potato.
So
it reminded me of a sumo match, except they're not touching.
Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
This is the opposite of the sentiment Jason has been having for a while now with the whole... stakes couldn't be higher and we couldn't care less.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least. It's the stakes are at the highest and I'm finally starting to care.
And I'm beginning to pay attention again.
Yeah.
Gohan and Piccolo communicate telepathically. Just nonchalantly. They just do that all the time now.
Yeah. And they always could.
And they always could. And they are being... they are sensing the battle from Earth. And Gohan is helping to tend to the Earthlings, who are worn out from providing so much energy.
Just plum tuckered.
The whole planet is.
A whole planet of plum tuckeriness.
I mean, I am worried about these people. Some people were driving.
Yeah.
They're
I'm glad they
just
pulled
passed
over.
Out in the street.
They just used up a full 8-hour shift in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They agree to meet up at the lookout so that they can sense the battle better, being closer to the Kai realm, I suppose. Piccolo also calls to Goten and Trunks and gets them away from their corn.
Which they immediately choke on.
I enjoy that he and Gohan have a whole conversation and it's just, boys,
get
going.
Over here.
Look alive. I love how Gohan and Piccolo... talk to each other as if they're trying to coordinate, like, a visit to the Applebee's. It's like, yeah, I'll catch you there. Cool. Great. Yeah, I'll get the starters ready. You doing the potato skins again? Righteous.
All of the families reunite on the lookout, and Gohan and Videl also reunite.
Aww. So many tears! All the moms get to see their babies!
And everybody's happy.
Gohan gets the coolest entrance, appearing behind Videl with his hand on her shoulder.
Oh, so romantic.
Goku begins to lose ground, and Boo starts pushing the bomb back at him. So Vegeta calls out to Dende to come here and heal Boo. Or heal Goku, sorry.
Master tactician, that Vegeta.
He's still thinking up plans.
That's the key to a master tactician, is to just keep planning.
You gotta shore up those contingencies. Everybody in the universe is pretty tapped out of energy, though. And we do see that the Namekians were putting their hands up. Thanks, guys. Appreciate Phew. That.
I know, you were really putting them to the coals.
And even Kibito Kai can't instant transmission again until he recovers some energy. Darn.
We're all tapped out.
So inconvenient.
All the important people are tapped out right now.
So Dende can't just heal Kibito Kai, and then Kibito Kai can take him to Goku, and then he can
No, that's
Goku?
Ridiculous, Matt.
There's no time.
There's no time, Matt.
My God, can't you see what's happening?
Vegeta scrambles to find another solution and begins to demand that Mr. Satan ask for more energy from Earth.
Uh-oh, but what's the problem with that plan, Tyler?
Well, King Kai butts in to tell him that that's not an option, because taking any more from the Earthlings would start killing them.
Take the energy they need to live.
And Hercule simply cannot agree to that.
Draws a hard line right there.
He sure does.
Betraying his people.
He says,
he is
yeah.
a hero of the people, and I love him for that.
He says, even I can't sink that low.
Yeah, not even I can stoop to that.
God bless
him.
He
knows he's a charlatan. He's just such a true hero, because he knows he's a charlatan, but, like, acknowledges the weight that the trust the people have
He
carries.
Cannot betray right. that trust.
Like, you can betray it a little bit.
He did betray it a little bit.
But, I mean... There's little, the gray area.
As a tree.
Betray trust a little bit.
Vegeta has a realization, and it is a little bit funnier in the Japanese, I think.
Oh, I didn't flip over.
Because Vegeta is saying, like, it's thanks to me that those people are even fucking alive again. And he's like, we still have a third wish on the Dragon Balls. We can just wish them back again. And then he's like, oh, wait, we have a third wish.
Sometimes plans are like that.
Yep.
You kind of go from A to C and then remember, oh, wait, there's a step B in the middle I can go to instead.
Oh, how there is.
And indeed, like, Purunga is waiting.
I was banging pots and pans on my side. I'm just like, use your last wish. Use your last wish.
It's a good thing Purunga couldn't hear him sassily asking for new boots.
That would have been a bummer.
That probably would have been kind of offensive. I don't think Purunga could even wear boots. He didn't have no shoes. He didn't have no feet.
Dende what uses...
Tyler, I have a question.
Sure.
What's at the end of Purunga's tail?
The Dragon Balls.
The Dragon Balls.
No, but I mean... What's at the end of Purunga's tail? Does he have a single little dragon foot?
Then he's just he's tippy toeing on.
I hate that. If that wouldn't be a tail, then it'd be a leg. It would just be a one long loopity leg.
Is he a mermaid of the skies?
That's called a dragon.
Yeah, Jason, you know the fuck what a dragon is, right?
Listen, I've been playing Monster Hunter for at least 2 minutes, and I still don't know what a dragon is.
We've been watching this anime for 2 fucking years, Jason.
That's why I feel like a mermaid of the sky would be a siren. You know, one of those ones where it's like a bird, but with a lady's head.
Ooh. I like that. Sorry, we were focusing on the dragon of love.
Dende uses the third wish to restore Goku's strength to normal.
Oh yeah, I just want to point out, I love the reveal they do here of like, oh wait, we still have a third wish, right? And then Dende just kind of looks over and like, oh yeah, Purunga's still here.
Oh yeah. Thought he was just hanging out to see what happened.
He's just waiting.
Just as Goku is finally giving up, Dende tells him that his power has been restored. And he's like, yeah, what do you know? There it is.
Hey,
feels good.
I'm not tired anymore. Here's a thing that is wild to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't really know why Goku's power was sapping. I assume it's just because he's tired.
Yeah.
He's been out for very long.
And he hasn't been alive in a while.
Yeah.
And he hasn't eaten this whole time.
He has not eaten.
He also became Vegito for a minute, went inside someone's body.
It's been a long day.
Super
Saiyan 3, which takes up a shit ton of energy.
Mm-hmm.
Did a lot of instant transmissions just now.
Made a planet-sized spirit bomb.
He did that.
So he's been a busy boy.
Yeah. It's been a busy day.
But when Purunga says, this is totally within my power, and does the okay sign, I just think back to way back when we summoned Shenron and was like, whoa, hey, can you just, like, kill those two Saiyans that are on their way to Earth, Vegeta and Nappa? Can you just...
No, too strong.
That's outside. So is Purunga just that much beefier, or is it easier to restore power than it is to eliminate it?
To remove it?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Must be.
Or maybe he's just clever and just, like, teleported a Senzu Bee directly into Goku's stomach.
Just put it right in his tummy.
Yeah, I suppose I never considered the mechanics of what was happening here. But that does make sense.
Aw, oh, man, maybe he's got, like, Namekian Senzu beans that are even better.
Ooh.
He's got the
They're
dank
like three
Senzu
times
beans.
Bigger.
Ooh. It's like a Senzu kale smoothie.
They got Senzu watermelons.
Ooh.
Oh, that sounds so good.
You don't want those in your tummy. They'll grow.
Goku says challenge accepted.
That just means I have food in there all the time. It just keeps
you mean I'm just constantly
food.
Eating now.
Fully confident again, Goku transforms into a Super Saiyan. He nonchalantly catches the spirit bomb and just sends it hurtling back at Kid Buu.
Toing.
King Kai takes pride in teaching him that technique.
Oh my god. Calm down.
I would take pride.
We didn't even see you do it.
You can't prove shit.
Frieza is pissed that Goku has managed to weasel his way out of another one.
I feel like weasel isn't quite the right word for this. More like a badger. You just kind of strong arm through it. Not so much weasel past.
He Wolverined his way out of another one.
Honey Goku don't give a fuck.
Babidi finally feels joy seeing Majin Buu be defeated.
Oh, maybe this is what I was looking for.
Ah! Time to go pick flowers in heaven with Dabra.
Is this that catharsis thing I hear so much about?
I thought catharsis was a saying I haven't met yet.
Goku begins to reflect on the very strange tale of Majin Buu.
Goku is just trying to make sense of this fucking arc.
Yeah.
Fair.
At first I thought he was, like, quinning out all the parallels between him and Buu, when he's like, he doesn't really... He just thought fighting
You're like
was
a naughty
fun
child.
And playtime. And then he gets to the part where he split his evil into a physical being, and I'm like, okay, that's where the parallel stops.
Yep. Goku's dealt with children before.
He hopes that Majin Buu will be able to come back someday, but as a better person. And he promises to have a little one-on-one if he does so.
Ah, there it is. There's the Goku I love.
So I can train and become
stronger. Come back so I can fight you again. I wish I could give you mercy, but I can't. But I hope... God, I wanted to write down what is it, because it was really touching to me. A little bit of clarity in all of the silliness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even after all this, Goku doesn't hold any malice towards Majin Buu.
Mm-hmm.
Just come back as a good guy. Be on my team.
Yeah. It's that easy.
Everybody around the universe tells Goku to do the damn thing. So he does.
This was so cool.
This fucking wit. I love this.
Yeah. He did the the thing, and everybody's like, go, 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 go.
It's not often you get the feeling of a splash page in animated form.
Yeah.
True.
So I was really appreciative of this part.
I love any point of an anime where the main characters fucking Nakama are cheering them on at the same yeah. time as the mm-hmm. big final attack comes down, like, yes!
Cheering them on inside window me. Panes.
Oh, yes. Come and splitting the screen.
Mm-hmm.
This might have been the most shonen moment of this entire series. Ironically
it is very
enough.
Shonen.
Kid Buu is completely eclipsed in the spirit bomb and is finally destroyed for good.
Fucking reform after that one, big guy.
This was... I worried, because he didn't really make a funny face.
He didn't. But that's perhaps like, the been, strangest thing about this.
He's been making funny faces the whole time,
mm-hmm.
is
Maybe
the thing.
That's to let us know that it's for real, it's serious.
Mm-hmm. So when he makes a serious face, it's opposite day.
Yeah, and he crumbled instead of splattered.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it did
true.
Feel...
It felt different. It felt... final.
It felt like an undoing. Because you can't kill Boo.
Right.
It felt like, yeah, he's unmade now. Because mm-hmm. that's the problem, is that so much of this is just beat him up, and he comes back together, beat him up, blow up the pieces, and the pieces turn into gas, the gas comes back together. It's always just been this for this whole arc. But now it feels, like, real, because it feels like the pieces that he was atomized into have nowhere to go.
They are also inside bomb.
But in the spirit bomb. Oops.
It takes the hopes and dreams of a world and also the dudes on New Namek. Whoops. Make me cry.
Yep.
In the Japanese, King Yemma also mentions that the spirit bomb has energy from Otherworld as well.
Oh, a spirit bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was just thinking, like, about what Boo even is, because he's not a cell. He's something even smaller. He's wizard bullshit. And what does it take to undo that? This magical... I can't think of a better word than evil, just a magical will to destroy things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an equally magical will to...
not put up with it.
Right. To live and to keep living and to work together.
Yeah.
Vegeta collapses on the ground now that he is finally able to relax. And Goku gently floats to the earth and just gives him a thumbs up.
Fucking love this.
And
turns out we make a pretty good team after all.
Oh, this was so cute.
Vegeta looks up and he returns the gesture and the two of them just start laughing.
Ah, my boys!
Best friends forever.
Any other notes for 286?
That Goku descending is maybe one of my favorite things. Just like floating down, because mm-hmm. it just conveyed like the tiredness of it being over. And
I want to talk about, I have a very distinct memory of being in, I want to say it was middle school. On TV, they were airing early Cell Sagas. I want to say he was still in his first form. And mm-hmm. a friend and I were in like the school library on one of the computers and found a clip on the internet of the scene of Majin Buu dying. With no context, just the title of the clip was "The End of Dragon Ball Z."
Oh, that is ominous.
I just remember us being like so hype seeing this character that we had no context on,
right.
getting taken out by the spirit bomb, and just feeling like we were given like this secret information that no other kid in school had. It started just like,
see, that's what I've been feeling
everyone.
This whole time.
It's like, yo, I know how it's gonna end. We saw the ending.
Yeah, I absorbed the ending through cultural osmosis. I knew that it ended with the big boom and everything. It's like, oh, the energy of the earth and all that. The details about, like, convincing everyone to add to the spirit bomb, and Satan coming in with the clutch many times.
Yep.
Like, those were missing on me. And I was so excited for this arc to figure out, like, how do we even get there?
I think my favorite part of these last few episodes on the Kai Realm is how much it feels like Hercule transitions from being a side character to being part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And just and standing on the same ground as these two dudes who are way, way stronger than him, but being their equal in this effort.
Right.
Right. It's not all about having the biggest number.
Mm-hmm.
It's being there and contributing what you're able to do and carrying people out of the way who need to be picked up and have their ass shown to the camera.
It's very tight. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Satan.
Mr. Satan is the strongest booty after all.
Mr. Satan knows a thing or two about money shots. Episode 287, the English title, is Celebrations with Majin Buu.
The Japanese title roughly translates to Peace Returns, Majin Buu, Champion of Justice?
This is like a what if, right?
Maybe.
Has to be. We just defeated Majin Buu.
Unless.
Is what I would have said. Everybody around the universe and in Otherworld celebrates the Saiyan's victory over Majin Buu.
Yeah!
Yay!
Yamafluckin, like, yeets his desk. That is mahogany.
He says something like, I keep telling you, he can't be defeated. Except for all the times that he has been.
Yeah, we glossed over the part where he's like, I didn't pay for extended cable just to watch you lose, Goku.
He's one of those fans.
Mm-hmm. Inexplicably, Piccolo and the kids are on the Earth again instead of the Lookout.
Maybe they just needed a break.
I was wondering about that.
Why did they leave?
Hi, Mom, we're not dead. Okay, bye.
Goten and Trunks wandered off to go get their corn. They had to go retrieve them.
Yeah, they needed supervision. Hercule confirms with Goku that Buu has been destroyed, and then calls out to the citizens of Earth to thank them for their help in that effort. And
thank
boy,
yous are so important.
Boy, does he put on a show.
He does.
He gives it 110%. And the Earth, once again, chants for Satan.
Videl is so embarrassed.
Videl is not having this today.
Yeah, Videl is incredibly embarrassed by the speech.
goof troop.
I do want to point out a weird sub-story that the dub has decided to inject into these last couple episodes. This week, regarding Yamcha. I don't know if you all noticed.
Huh?
I didn't notice.
Yamcha and the dub has become very bitter suddenly about Bulma and Vegeta.
I did pick up on that, yeah.
Bulma shouts out, I love you, Vegeta, as they get their confirmation that Buu has been defeated. And Yamcha just goes, yeah, I bet you do.
Woof.
In this episode.
They still needed to give us some of that salty Yamcha content, even though after Bulma has a, like, 7-year-old.
And later on in these episodes, he and Roshi are flipping through a photo album together.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all.
Oh my god, I remember that!
And Yamcha's like, yeah, this was taken right before she broke up with me. And
just
move
on, bud.
It's a weird thing to inject in this happy ending.
Go find Tien.
He's just having a bit of oversharing going on. He doesn't have the support structure.
Anyhow, Dende and the Kais arrive on the Kai planet.
Do you think he's just having trouble, like, coping not being in heaven anymore? Because he was, like, really jazzed about that.
Perhaps. That would be a jarring transition. Goku tells Dende to heal Vegeta first. Because he took all that beating.
Yeah.
And he does. Because he wasn't able to, or willing to, the last time he had the chance to heal Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about this? Because, refresh my memory, didn't the last time that these two had, like, any kind of, like, healing-based interaction, like, Vegeta, like, didn't he, like, kick the shit out of his own ass and then tell Denny to heal him so he could trigger his Zenkai boost?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then almost died because Denny didn't want to.
Yeah, it was reasonably, I might add, reasonably, because he was a frightened kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now here is Dende, Guardian of Earth, walking up to Vegeta, whom he knows has messed up big time, and still, like, coming up to him and going, you know what, this couldn't have happened without you.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. He's really one of the good guys.
Well, he's one of the good guys, and he's been forgiven.
Yeah, he got wished, like, back to life. It's confirmed.
That's true.
I'm proud of Dende for being able to forgive him. Like, it feels not so much like, oh, yeah, you're a good guy, I guess I got it. Like,
mm-hmm.
Kudos to Dende to being able to work through his stuff, too.
Yeah, that's important.
Hercule celebrates with B, who suddenly sniffs something nearby and runs off to check on it. And
probably a rabbit.
B finds the body of Mr. Boo.
Oh!
He survived the blast. Hercule begs Dende to heal him too, and Dende just looks to Goku for a decision. Vegeta prepares to destroy him.
Vegeta ain't having this shit.
This is so good.
He needs to tie up these loose ends.
Right.
Hercule wants Vegeta to give him another chance, seeing as Mr. Boo helped them in the fight against Kid Boo.
Mm-hmm. Makes a very strong case for him.
And that he told Hercule specifically to save him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a level of awareness that I didn't think Mr. Boo had. I'm gonna be real.
Vegeta asks what happens when he blows a gasket again and creates another little evil Boo. And Hercule says he's not gonna do that because I'm gonna watch him, and also the only reason that happened is because some fucking idiot shot his dog.
Which, fair.
Yeah.
But Vegeta has another very fair thing. What happens, you know, when the dog gets run over?
Mm-hmm.
Or...
any number
spoiler
of...
Spoiler alert! Dogs die.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It sucks, and it sucks every time.
What if, like, a deity from the heavens comes down and steals his pudding? You know? Like,
what happens then? Hercule promises to take full responsibility for Mr. Boo. Goku tells Dende to just go ahead and heal him.
God, I love this tension before Goku says that, because it took me right back to the Vegeta saga, as Vegeta's crawling back into his spaceship and Krillin is standing over him with a sword, making these same exact arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
About,
you're right.
He's just going to come back again and fuck us up.
Uh-huh.
Why should I let him go? And now here's Vegeta in that same position.
I like the exchange between Vegeta and Hercule when Vegeta says, well, you better be prepared to die with your friend. And Hercule just clutches Mr. Boo closer.
Oh my gosh.
Because that is not a move that you would expect from somebody like Hercule circa the Cell Saga.
No.
Right.
You would expect him to run away from the scary man. But he does indeed stay with his friend to the end.
I fucking love Mr. Satan.
And it does make Vegeta hesitate.
Well, and he does hesitate. He waits for confirmation. He doesn't just blow Boo away right off the bat. We don't have another moment like on Namek with Goku saying, Vegeta, no!
Yeah.
What's his name? His head rolls the heck off.
Goku wants to return the favor to Mr. Boo for saving Vegeta's life. Mm-hmm. So he tells Dende to heal him.
It's not like I've had a change of heart or anything, Baka.
Kibito Kai wonders...
Vegeta even says this is so stupid. Stupid mercy.
Kibito Kai wonders if it will be awkward for the Earthlings to cohabitate with the being that killed them all.
That's a valid point.
A valid point, but they've been fine with Piccolo and Vegeta.
Well,
thank you.
Nappa's gotta be out there somewhere.
Except for the time when Piccolo tried to ask them for help and everybody just ran out of the city screaming.
don't worry, Goku comes up with a very clever plan.
What's a plan that? So clever, I wonder why they haven't done it already with Piccolo.
I hope Piccolo wasn't listening. His plan is to hide Majin Buu in Hercule's house for 6 months and then use the Dragon Balls to just wish the Earth's memories of Majin Buu away.
Old Kai's not
Old Kai's like, sure, wish it away, whatever.
Fucking alright, I guess we're just wishing things away now.
What the fuck have I been talking about the past couple days?
Eternal sunshine of the spotless planet, I guess. Get Jim Carrey in here.
Just fuck me, I guess. I mean, what am I just... Not like there could ever be consequences for your actions.
Do you think this erases their memories of having died? Or is it just like, you remember that weird thing when everybody on Earth died and we don't know why?
I don't know if I want to examine the domino effect of this wish.
I'm thinking the way it was done. If Purunga or Shenron had to do it, I'm thinking he just kind of came up with like a rewrite of just like, oh, there was no fat Boo who was causing havoc. It was just this kid Boo this whole time, and Mr. Satan just defeated him. Yay!
Oh, you know, that's a great way to do it.
What if they're What if they're doing a do-over? Like a whole year?
Oh.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and also, wouldn't that just erase their opinion of Mr. Satan as well? Or, like, they don't think he saved the world anymore?
Well, they still think that he saved him from Cell.
From Cell, yes. But it's not true. From Boo, because Boo didn't exist.
Right.
But then, in Super, they reference, like, ah, Mr. Satan, the hero who defeated Boo, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they know Boo happened.
Maybe it was, like, a copy-paste.
Yeah, they just think that Boo was something different.
Yeah. Hmm.
Just all evil kid Boo.
Mm-hmm.
No happy Boo.
Mm-hmm. Goku's starving, so he wants to go home.
I can relate.
They all reunite with their friends and family. It's all very happy on the lookout. And Hercule introduces Videl to her new dog and also her new dad brother.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little freaked out to see Majin Buu with them, and he just sticks his tongue out at everybody.
Bleh.
I'm a stinker.
He is such a stinker. Goku tells everybody that Old Kai gave him a new life, so he's gonna stay on Earth and actually be a family man.
Aww.
I'm gonna be alive and stick around.
He I'm says, gonna be lying present through in his the lives teeth. Of my loved ones.
I'm not gonna miss another birthday, maybe.
I'm so proud of him. And Chi-Chi's reaction is so genuine.
It's really cute.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Half a year later, Shenron is summoned, and Boo is allowed to live on Earth in peace. So he enjoys a stroll down the street, and he spots a little girl enjoying some ice cream, and she tells him to get his own cone at the cone store.
You know what? Something just dawned on me.
Uh-huh.
How did they manage to keep Boo occupied for 6 months when... He couldn't keep himself occupied for 3 days without losing patience.
Yeah, he slept for 5 seconds and thought it was a whole night.
That must... Oh my god, I want to see that.
What a nightmare.
Holy shit.
Wow, yeah. This is the real question. Maybe introduced him to jigsaw puzzles?
Right.
They've got to be hard Satan to do to with have, mitten hands.
He had to have, like, a circus on call. 24/7. He's getting rowdy. You guys gotta come over.
Do some tricks. Boo goes to the cone store and he gets a scoop of all 14 flavors, but he has no money to pay for it.
Two for every day of the week. this guy sounds like Forrest Gump ice cream scoop man.
The ice cream man snatches the cone back, and Boo begins to get angry. until he thinks about Mr. Satan's old adage, never ever get angry. So he doesn't.
I like that he speaks it out as well. Like he goes, oh, Mr. Power. Satan said I shouldn't get angry anymore, so I'm not gonna get angry.
So I'm just not gonna.
Wish it were that easy.
Right?
Right.
But for people who don't have the danger of splitting into evil selves and destroying the Earth, it's okay to get angry. Anger is an emotion you're allowed to feel.
Boo wanders down the street, wondering how he can get money for ice cream.
How Boo participate in commerce?
Coincidentally, he runs across a street fight that is offering cash prizes.
His little realization of how money works just reminded me of that bit from The Simpsons. where Homer's like, wait, I wish I had a hot dog right now. But wait, with money, you could buy hot dogs.
Money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Boo does want the money, but he mentions out loud that Mr. Satan told him never to fight. The crowd assumes that he is one of the champ's pupils, and they want to see him fight, so one man offers to cover his entry fee.
And it's like, it's not cheap, right? It's like a couple hundred
dollars. It's 10G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever just lay down 10 grand just to watch somebody else fight?
I can safely say I have not.
He's a trust fund kid, it's fine.
At least not in the middle of the street.
Yeah.
Right.
The street fighter in the dub named Pitbull Pete, I don't know if that translates to Japanese.
Pitbull Pete!
He begins to wail on Boo's tummy as Boo just sort of happily keeps repeating, money, ice cream, money, ice cream.
Gotta keep
Boo's
that plan
fresh. Boo's
chanting
the mantra that I chant to myself every day at work. Money, ice cream, money, ice cream.
That really is what work and life is like. Just getting pummeled by Pitbull Pete while thinking about money and ice cream.
Oh, I looked him up on the wiki, and his Japanese name is Boss.
Boss?
Boss. Boss.
Boss.
Eventually, Boo notices that he's being punched, and simply swats the man away into a brick wall, and wins the fight.
Well.
So, is this an intentional callback to Dragon Ball, do you think?
I was just thinking about how odd it is that in pretty much every anime I watch, there are street fights for cash prizes.
Ah. Yeah. The Yakuza games are real.
Just conveniently, whenever a character needs money, they can right. turn and look down the street to see a street fight with cash prizes occurring.
An opportunity in my very specific skill set.
Uh-huh.
Or in the case of Hunter x Hunter, it's arm wrestling.
Underground arm wrestling.
But yeah, there's a early episode of Dragon Ball where Goku also learns the concept of money. And immediately yes. sees a street fight and challenges the guy and beats him in one punch.
How many? How many punches?
Oh, just one punch, man.
I'll put the song in.
Thank you. Thank you. We're doing the Lord's work.
Boo goes to the cone store again, and he buys a ton of cones with his money, and he just leaves all of it at the store. And the ice cream man chases him out the door, and he says, "You gave me too much money." And Boo's like, "Fucking pick one, dude. Do you need
you
money or not?"
The money. I keep
I
the
keep
ice cream.
The ice cream. Listen, yeah. he gets
we
it.
We have done the transaction.
No take backsies.
He enjoys a day in the park, sharing his cones with pigeons.
Aww.
He's some good-looking pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
Bulma finds him and gets him to carry her grocery bags for her because Vegeta and Trunks bailed on her.
Oh my god.
Like, I started to get frustrated with them, but then I realized, why is she shopping for groceries? She's the CEO princess of Capsule Corp.
Uh-huh.
Why is she shopping for over an hour for groceries for what appears to be a single grocery bag with just like
that has
greens
like
poking out of the top?
Yeah, bread and leeks in it.
Yeah,
just like she's like taking a trip to the grocery store to see how the other half lives. See what it's like.
Afterwards, Bulma takes a trip to her grocery store, which sells diamonds.
There we go. That's my girl.
And she decides to buy out the whole store. And Boo wants to try to eat the rock candy.
Yeah. Shiny, it's obviously like a cough drop or something. Like, it's hard candy.
It's in a really nice wrapper.
Right.
Suddenly there's a robbery, and the robbers seem very familiar.
Sure do.
Looks like good old Boss, but with a bandana over his head. Over his mouth.
He's out a 1,000 G.
Yeah.
10,000.
Gotta get it somewhere.
Gotta steal money to make money. That's what I always say.
Sounds like you're ready for capitalism.
It's as I always say, gotta steal money to have money.
Mm-hmm. It's the opening song to Aladdin.
Boo is eating diamonds, but they're yucky. He turns around and recognizes that the robbers are the nice men who gave him monies for ice cream.
Oh, these guys, my friends.
In a panic, the big guy shoots Boo.
He drops a bullet.
He drops one. And Boo just plucks it out and puts it in a wall.
Just gently flicks it back at him, shattering...
I'll give it back.
Very reminiscent of episode one, I might add.
Mm-hmm.
Raditz.
Good old Raditz.
Yeah.
Shatters what I assume is a very fancy painting.
Well, it was a very fancy painting.
The cops also hear a gunshot outside.
I really appreciate the part just before that where Bulma is just talking the maddest shit to these two. Two armed robbers pointing their guns at her, and she's like, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, she's been through this a number of times already, and luckily she is always with somebody from fucking outer space.
I feel Bulma like Briefs even if has... she wasn't with Boo, she would still be talking shit, because she's Bulma Briefs.
Because she's Bulma Briefs. She's Bulma Briefs, and she has come out of Namek, like, so fucking strong and so in control of her power. It is unreal.
I do think about that so much, like how different she is on the planet Namek, and really just having the planet Earth under her feet provides her power.
She is a god queen when on Dragon World. You cannot shake her.
The cops hear a gunshot outside and they prepare to move in. But luckily, Great Saiya Man and Saiya Girl are on the scene.
He doesn't have his helmet, though!
I don't care!
It's fine, because Videl does.
And it's got a little heart on it!
They're doing couple things.
Like poses.
I would trade every other TV show for this show.
Yep.
I need this.
Can you believe there are people who don't like this?
How are they extant?
Are they real? Did they watch Kai? What happened to them? Who hurt them?
They didn't survive.
They don't like this fucking power couple.
Out here.
No, they want Gohan justice. To be cool, and they want Videl to have long hair.
Gohan is cool.
Yes.
This is the coolest he's ever been.
Exhibit
they want
A.
Gohan to be a mean, rude boy that uses the R word.
And likes killing.
They want him to be a Hot Topic boy. They want him to be a Slipknot music video kind of boy.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not. He's a dork, and he's hanging out with his dorky girlfriend, and they're fighting crime together in matching uniforms.
Henshin a go-go.
I love it.
They do their poses as they prepare to fight, but the robbers just come out and surrender.
Aww.
Bless them.
And they do a pratfall.
Yeah, they don't get to fight.
They see Bulma and Boo walk out of the store, and they're like, oh yeah. We get it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
This has happened.
Fancy meeting you guys here.
Uh-huh.
We'll just move along then.
Nothing to see here, folks.
Very that.
That night, Goku is enjoying a bath with Goten and Trunks as Chi-Chi prepares a dinner for all of the Z Warriors.
Hmm.
And they start roughhousing in the bath.
Yeah, Goku's upgraded from his single steel oil drum bathtub to like a family-sized jacuzzi.
It's a queen-sized.
A queen-sized steel oil drum.
Yeah.
The boys decide to fuse.
Not gonna beat them so easy.
And Goku just turns Super Saiyan and explodes the drum.
No bats for anybody now.
He suggests that they stay fused together so that Chi-Chi can only spank them once.
Hey. That is the most dad thing Goku has said this entire series.
A little bit, yeah.
Everybody laughs as Chi-Chi chases the boys around the house and Vegeta stands under a tree breaking the fourth wall.
He fucking looks at us and goes, "What are you looking at?"
Just go back to looking at the golden naked man standing in his yard with all his friends and family around him.
Oh, yeah, so you've been watching Tiger King too?
I haven't.
Okay.
I do want to point out Videl's really cute reaction to that.
To Goku's whole manhood?
Yeah. Where she covers up her face, but, like, peeks a little bit.
Listen. I get it.
He's a specimen, for sure.
Mm-hmm. In Japanese, Vegeta is, instead of breaking the fourth wall, he just says, "What vulgar folks." So princely.
To be fair, they are taking a bath with company over.
That is a little wild.
Right before dinner time.
And the company's not even in the house. Like they're
out in the yard. They're like cracking open brewskis.
Is this like a cultural difference, like a bathhouse kind of thing, or is that?
I have to assume so.
Probably something like that.
My assumption is that Goku, Trunks, and Goten were roughhousing before the bath got started, and Chi-Chi told them to clean up, and they couldn't even do that.
I'm just going to assume that every time they visit the San House in the Paozu Mountains or whatever, there is a non-zero chance, and they have made peace with this, there is a non-zero chance that they are going to see some Goku hog, like, before the day is done. Yeah. He's just living, like, a free and natural life.
Chi-Chi makes them sign a waiver. Any other notes for 287?
It's like, you guys have known him longer than I have. You know what to expect.
You know what you're getting into.
Episode 288, the English title is "He's Always Late."
This is my favorite goddamn episode of this whole show.
Oh, no.
This is a fucking checklist of an episode.
Oh, no, no, no.
But before we unpack my TED Talk notes, I will let you know that the Japanese title roughly translates to, "You're late, Goku. Everyone party!"
This is incredible.
So I have a feeling that we're going to start this by breaking down a lot of fashion.
Oh, yes.
We'll get there.
Because there's a lot of fashion to be broken down.
There's so much fashion.
Chi-Chi is trying out some new outfits as she prepares for a party at Capsule Corp.
I'm going to die. Tyler, we have seen Chi-Chi, this bless her heart woman, in these sort of like traditional, like, I guess, like Chinese style dresses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know the fashion type. Either way, 18 thinks it's tacky.
Yeah.
But now we get to, like, Chi-Chi with just this, like, pink blouse.
Business casual.
And her hair is kind of, like, gumming down in these, like, two swoops.
Mm-hmm. That bun's not so tight.
Look at this modern woman.
Modern woman.
Gohan is wearing a dapper baby blue suit.
Looking nice.
Goten's got a little bow tie.
Yeah, Gohan is helping Goten.
Goten gets the best outfit out of anybody.
It is wild.
He's got a lot going on.
His brother's helping him put on a bow tie over his yellow button down and green suspenders, and later he's wearing a newsy cap.
A giant
oversized
fuck
brown
off newsy cap.
It cannot contain the hair.
The newsy cap is so good. It's just puffing out like an expanding thing of Jiffy Pop.
Bursting.
It's bigger than
seams.
His head.
It's practically a beanie at that point.
Really, it is.
Chi-Chi asks Goku, or asks the boys if they have seen Goku, but Gohan assumed that he left already. But Goten knows where he is.
Goten knows the truth.
And he's not Saiyan.
Well, he's half Saiyan.
You got me.
Goku, also in a very nice suit, is watching over some pterodactyl eggs in a nearby nest.
Love
Goku in a
suit.
Fucking
he
three-piece,
looks so good.
Though.
He's in a three-piece suit.
He's got a nice little vest moment happening. I really appreciate that.
He spots an egg hanging in a tree branch, and he tries to return it to the nest, but the pterodactyls don't want him to touch it.
Aww.
If the egg hatches there, the baby will fall to its death in a raging river below.
Is this the same mommy and daddy pterodactyls from the filler episodes with Gohan in the circus?
I was thinking that, but it can't be because Goku says that this is their first litter of pterodactyl babies.
Did that pterodactyl baby grow up?
That would have been very fast, because that was only like a couple weeks before Goku came back to life.
It's been 6 months.
It has been half a year. I don't know how fast pterodactyls grow up. I'll be honest.
Maybe they're cousins.
Could be. Goku knows that Chi-Chi is probably pissed at him, but he wants to make sure that the babies will be okay before he goes to the party.
Buddy.
He Solange Bowser's a snake that tries to eat the eggs in the nest.
Yeet.
Everybody begins to arrive at Capsule Corp, and Yamcha almost crashes his brand new car into the building.
What the fuck, Yamcha?
What are you doing, bud?
Pre-gaming, I guess.
Get your shit together, man.
Don't drink and drive.
He is endangering Puar.
Luckily, Trunks is there to catch the car.
Yep.
Can we just... does this just establish the fact that, like, Yamcha is just a shit flyer? Like, a shit pilot? Has this just always been the case?
It seems to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trunks notices that the car was made at Capsule Corp, and Yamcha confirms that Bulma gave him a great deal on it.
He doesn't think that he still has a chance, does he? He would be the type to, like, read too much into that.
Oh, he
while speaking to her, like, 8-year-old child.
Yep.
Yeah.
The San family begins to arrive, and when Krillin asks about Goku, Chi-Chi just storms off and says he's having a baby.
He's having a baby!
And 18
and then there's
is
a great
very
shot
confused.
At 18.
Yeah.
Also, a quick pause button to the current discourse. I just wanted to take a moment to correct a previous statement. As merely identifying Chi-Chi's traditional style of dress as a Chinese style dress, which I was not satisfied with merely calling it that and leaving it at that. So I looked it up, and it's called the Cheongsam. Mm. Cheongsam.
Oh.
The more you know. All right, back to the episode.
All of the Z Warriors begin to enjoy a barbecue at the Capsule Corp inside that nice inside garden area.
You think Captain Ginyu's still in there?
Probably.
Oh.
Scrounging for food.
He doesn't need to scrounge. It's a paradise for frogs.
Sure
oh, yeah.
is. Tien and Krillin are enjoying some pizza.
Here's my question. Tien, why do you physically need to hand a piece of pizza onto Krillin's plate? We've seen a lot of weird shit in this show. That's probably the most buckwild thing I have seen.
He's a very caring and delicate friend.
And also extremely socially awkward.
That as well.
He is wearing a cape indoors when everybody else is wearing normal clothes.
True. That is true.
Majin Buu goes to check on Vegeta's food, and Vegeta turns away at first, but then shares some food with him.
Ah, Vegeta! This goof didn't go how I expected, because I expected, like, we see, you know, Majin Buu with, you know, all of the dishes and trays around him, and I thought we were gonna pan over to see, like, you know, a Saiyan just chowing down with trays of food, like, normal, but Vegeta's got, like, a very nice picnic. There,
he's
tree.
Got a sensible snack, a nice baguette.
But it's so nice. He just smiled and gave him his sandwich.
Probably because Bulma told him to before the party. Like, Vegeta, I know how you Saiyans eat. Don't do that tonight, please.
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 Piccolo is taking a nap in the flower garden.
I want to highlight this with a bold Sharpie right here.
So beautiful.
Piccolo is not meditating. He is lounging.
He is just lounging.
He is
laying out in the
flowers.
He's
back with his like hand kind of like resting under his head.
Feeling the artificial wind on his skin.
He is supine. And that's wild to me because that's not how Piccolo unwinds. He goes to have like a waterfall moment or whatever and meditate. But no, this is the biggest like mind-blowing moment for me in terms of character art progression is Piccolo fucking relaxing for a half a second.
Yeah, well, and like for an introvert and somebody who's awkward in groups of people to be able to comfortably like chill out while
lounge.
In the midst right while in the midst of social interaction to take that distance without having to leave shows a level of comfort and trust that I'm
very
so
true.
Happy he has.
Very true.
I also enjoy Hercule sharing drinks with the Guardian of Earth.
Yeah,
I am glad that they are still bros after that short time they were hanging out together.
It's all ginger ale into the bridge.
It's a real
also,
bonding experience.
Also, put a highlight on Hercule's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That fucking sweater with like the high collar dress shirt underneath.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of like Captain Picard or something. Mm-hmm. Like he looked like a starship captain.
It was very retro.
Yeah.
Even for the air date of this episode.
Right.
Maybe he got a movie deal to reenact the events of his adventure out in space.
While waiting for the eggs to hatch, Goku fondly reminisces about being found by Grandpa Gohan all those years ago.
In his own egg.
Yeah, he thinks, I hatched from an egg, in a way. It was from space!
It was egg-shaped, kind of.
Well, in the original myth, you know, Sun Wukong was hatched from an egg made of stone. I mean, it's kind of the same.
Mm-hmm. Some dinosaurs start having a grudge match nearby, and they begin to threaten the nest. So Goku just picks them up and flies them away.
Plops them right on top of a mountain with no vegetation nor easy way down.
Yep, he's like, all right, have fun. Go at it.
Knock yourselves out.
Boy, this takes me back to the time I fought Vegeta.
It is starting to get late, so Bulma breaks out the stereo system, and everybody starts dancing.
Woo. Fucking Dragon Ball dance party. Was this episode written for me?
Dance party!
Even though it was pretty limited animations, but still.
I don't care. They had to strobe all these different colors in. I forgive them.
Yeah.
Even Piccolo and Vegeta start tapping along.
Vegeta is tapping with his little thingies, and I noticed it.
Mm-hmm. Smiling, having a good time.
They do like a close-up on Piccolo tapping his toes.
18 pushes Gohan onto the dance floor with Videl, and Videl starts dancing around him, and he does his best to join in. But Chi-Chi starts to mock her son's dance moves.
This is what some might call a power play.
Chi-Chi.
Some might.
She starts showing off her moves, which are just martial arts poses.
I am in love with this woman.
It worked in Avatar.
Yeah, it's almost like a haka.
A little bit.
It's Tai Chi. But it's Tai Chi Chi.
It's Tai Chi Chi.
Tai Chi Chi.
Also, special shout out to Roshi in the background. Screaming Kung Fu Mama.
She's a karate mama.
You go, yeah, karate mama.
The most wholesome thing he's ever said.
Trunks commits the fucking first degree burn homicide.
It's so good.
That I've ever heard. He says, wow, Koten, your mom's almost as cool as your outfit. 911. I would like to report a murder.
And then Goten asks to ask his brother if it is indeed cool, because he does not know.
He does. He's not. He's like, I'm not sure if this was an insult or a compliment. I need to consult.
In the original sub, apparently, when Bulma's doing the whole like, this is called Tai Chi Chi. Get it? In the Japanese, Bulma says that your mom is a master of the eternal turtle style.
Interesting.
Is that why we cut to turtle under the table?
Maybe. And then she kind of talks about how like she used to participate in like a Tenkaichi, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yay! I knew Chi-Chi had to be getting up to something.
Chi-Chi pulls a butt muscle on the dance floor.
You hate to see it.
When everybody checks to see if she's okay, she requests a Zenzu bean so that she can finish her dance.
Love it.
Very good.
Bless this
then
woman.
Dende says the wrong thing.
Dende invokes he who shall not be named.
Goku?
He mentions
only Goku's
only...
wife would say something like that.
You know, Chi-Chi, Goku's wife, who's married to Goku, they're married.
Where is he by the way?
The one who's not here.
Where's
now?
Goku?
A hush falls over the crowd as everybody remembers that Goku isn't there. Chi-Chi wants to swap husbands with Bulma.
Yo, Chi-Chi was pretty quick on the draw for that. She invented wife swap like decades ahead of that show.
I felt Bulma's uncomfortableness with that.
Like, is she joking? Is she trying to get a rise and just fight with somebody? Is she serious?
Yamcha throws his hat in the ring.
Yamcha.
And Chi-Chi says they're trying to trade up.
What's the opposite of fishing? Like, it's fishing, but you're fishing for what you know are going to be insults.
Yeah.
That's called throwing your fish hook at people just on the street. You don't even have a pole, you're just throwing bait at people.
You're just throwing worms at people.
Out on the mountain, the eggs are about to hatch, and the entire animal kingdom comes to watch.
Is this Simba?
It is basically Simba.
I like how the whole animal kingdom comes to watch, but they are all carnivores.
And also the snake from earlier.
The snake.
Yeah, the snake brings its babies to come check it out.
I like how concerned they are about this egg. Yeah, they're concerned who's going to get first dibs.
It wasn't trying to eat it late earlier. It was just trying to make sure it wasn't hatched yet.
I've got to believe that Goku just sort of sent out a telepathic newsletter to the mountain, be like, yo, some babies are about to hatch. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a miracle. Come bring your babies.
Come bring your babies.
It's going to be sunset. Shit's going to be lit.
Goku ends this show in the same note that he began it. By chopping wood.
Yep, because there starts to be a storm brewing. And he's like, oh no, I've got to fortify this nest. And I thought for half a second that it's going to be a moment where I could say, see, I knew that Goku was smarter than he acts. I've proven it to all of you. and then he comes with these locks. And just puts them haphazardly in the cave. And then just slaps his hand like, yep, did it.
Goku, like we determined last week, Goku as a Christ allegory, he once again, a humble carpenter.
Not a good one, but humble all the same.
I do love this about Goku. I'm sad that he's still not really able to prioritize his family and friends, but he's caring about things in the way he knows how, which is sort of whatever captures his interest in the moment. Mm-hmm. And he missed Goten being born. And on some level, I imagine he feels bad about that. So by God, he's going to be here for these babies.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them be born.
If there's one thing that can be said about Goku, it's that he fucking loves that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more than anything else.
It's his home. He's Goku, and he lives here.
He's Goku, and he lives there.
We are getting all the callbacks on this show, and I'm so happy.
The egg in the storm on the branch falls into the river below, and Goku helps the pterodactyls to rescue it from a waterfall.
Oh no!
Right back to episode one, baby Gohan in that river.
Goku is swallowed by a big old fish.
This is Vengeance! For all my fish brothers!
Vengeance is mine!
I have avenged the great slayer of my kin. I am the legendary Superfish.
He busts out, cracks open the fish's jaw.
Do you think he's a super salmon?
He is a super salmon.
That's better. You did it.
Thank you.
He returns the egg to its family.
Aww.
Goku arrives to the party just as it's winding down, and he is now in a ruined suit.
Got fish guts in it.
Goes in the door just as Krillin and 18 were about to leave.
I mean, even without the water and the waterfall and the fish and, like, batting away a bunch of kaiju trying to get at the egg, even still, like, he was in a suit in the rain for, like, hours.
And even before that, he was lounging in the dirt.
Yep.
True.
Everybody gathers back around the table as Goku eats his dinner so that they can hear the story about the eggs hatching.
I love it.
Just want to be around Goku, their friend.
He calls out to Vegeta to come to the table and hang out with everybody.
Yeah, it could be in such a fucking wallflower over there.
And also, during this party, I forget if it was before Goku arrived or after, but there's like some filler dialogue to just kind of simulate like people talking in a party in a crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just hear Piccolo going, "Yeah, I fought your dad."
Yeah. But he's talking to both Goten and Trunks.
So he's right on both counts.
The episode ends with the party getting livelier and livelier just by Goku being there.
Goku fucking winks at the
camera.
He
winks at the camera.
And we get a fucking, Tyler, we get a fucking iris out.
Yep.
Yeah. Straight up Looney Tunes in this bitch.
As it goes around his head like, that's Goku.
Goku knows the party don't start till he walks in.
Any other notes for the episodes this week?
Oh my god.
I just want more of this.
This has been a fucking, you know when you... You know when you order pizza and you say to yourself, oh, I shouldn't, but you click over to the dessert section and you see that very decadent, like, absolutely sinful, like, it's usually like a cinnamon thing with all the icing that drips over, and you go, I shouldn't add that to my cart, but I do. That's what this episode is to me. It's that cinnamon dipper that you get at the end as a treat. As a treat, Tyler. 200, how many goddamn episodes? 288 episodes? This is my dessert.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And it tastes good.
It is delicious.
Yeah. I was thinking about, while I was watching this, in most shonen genre anime, once the big bad is defeated, that's it. That's the end of the series. You'll get, like, maybe 15 minutes of epilogue, wrap up all, this is where they are, 10 years later.
I mean, and then we get, like, cool time skip fashion.
Yeah, but you don't get to, like, sit with it. And I really appreciate that Dragon Ball Z is going on, like, not only giving an epilogue episode, but, like, several of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, we really get to take our time to say our goodbyes.
I love that so much.
Mm-hmm. It is maybe the best thing that Ichiro Oda lifted to put into One Piece, is the party at the end of the battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is just part of his formula now.
I just want to see these guys hanging out. And, like, that's the charm.
It's the delight of games like Blades in the Dark, where after each heist you have a, like, hangout sesh. It's part of the game.
I do also want to say I am extremely salty that we're only just now getting this Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right before and we get a different fashion Chi-Chi.
A dancing Chi-Chi?
Cut loose.
And what little I've seen of Super, I don't see this Chi-Chi.
Nope.
This Chi-Chi came out of nowhere. I've been blessed by her.
Sadly, we also don't see this Videl or Saiya Girl ever again.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I forgot.
Well, they'll have to exist in fan fiction then.
Unfortunately.
And the video games.
Yeah. So.
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 What kind of wrap-up party would our Hail Satan characters have?
See, that's the thing, Jason. Is that there is another party happening in West City.
Oh.
Hosted by, let's say, a rival company of Capsule Corp.
Oh, what would that be?
That would be the Bad Chicks for Good LLC.
Hey.
Oh, shit.
Who were upset that they weren't invited to the Capsule Corp party.
And
so they were they're planning to host an even bigger banger.
We want fireworks. We want elephants. We want elephants shooting fireworks out of their trunks.
Beelzebub Barbara's upset that Videl didn't come to her party.
Mm-hmm.
I like how Beelzebub Barbara, in my mind, has, because we kind of like wrapped up Bad Chicks for Good along with like Metal Gear Solid in a very delicious package. Yeah. I'm just kind of picturing like Beelzebub Barbara with just like an eye patch and a cigar and like a cool cape, and
100%.
Her name is just Beelzebub Big Boss.
Marin's name isn't on the list, but she finds a way in.
Well, of course.
With Hunko's in tow.
Right.
It's just rappels in from the ceiling.
She's the entertainment.
They thought she was the disco ball. But then she unfolded and it was magnificent.
I'm now picturing like sort of this shimmering disco drag, kind of like a Transformers sort of a scenario.
Yes.
Nothing but Hunko's just like throwing roses.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Barry Tender is catering this party.
Gotta be.
Business opportunity. Wait, did we establish, did Janet the janitor ever reconcile? Who was she dating? Was she dating Barry Tender?
I don't remember if they were dating or if it was like a you've got mail situation.
No, flirtation.
Okay. Yeah, I remember he became obsessed with her. And she was all about her work.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say he finally broke through her armor.
You think he popped
her emotional wall?
They had a whole rom-com off screen.
Mm-hmm. I know, we didn't get to see it. But we can write about it.
Like most of the best things in this show, it happened off screen.
They happened to be in the same place when they were putting their hands up and they bumped.
Oh, and they're like spirits entangled as they flew into the sky.
And it was beautiful.
And they both collapsed on the ground out of breath and their hands fell on top of each other.
Just in tears.
I love it.
At the beauty of the spirit bomb leaving planet Earth to go destroy Majin Buu.
You're not allowed to make me cry this close to the It's illegal.
Take me to jail.
Hey, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
You think you're ready for a 4-star rating?
I would love a 4-star rating.
This is our second to last one for Dragon Ball Z.
Sure is.
Right?
Jeez!
Penultimate.
Almost 2 gosh dang years.
Wow.
No, it is 2 years, because...
It's definitely 2 years. We're recording this the day after.
We are recording this the day after our...
The second anniversary.
Our second anniversary. Happy anniversary, guys!
Wow! I can't believe it's already been 6 episodes. Insane!
But if you all don't know what we do at this point, then, I mean, listen to the past ones. We're taking a horoscope from various Dragon Ball Z characters, usually based on their manga debut date, or reading it for them. And I want to do a send-off, because this is probably the only chance we're going to get, ever, to do a send-off for Kid Buu. Because I don't think I ever read a horoscope for that form of him.
I don't remember.
It turns out Kid Buu's birthday is February 28th, 1995, which would make him a Pisces. Also, by the way, Majin Buu, like Big Buu, is also a Pisces.
Wow.
Oh, that's just fitting.
Early March versus late February. Took almost a year to get through this. But
to tell this tale.
Kid Buu, this is your reading. It isn't always pleasant to take yourself to task, but this is the main objective of today's planetary energies. To take stock and launch yourself into new adventures. So take advantage of the configuration to look inside and get to the root of some of your setbacks. It's not an easy thing to do, to be sure, but it will do you an enormous amount of good, and it all starts with taking the time to be honest with yourself.
We hope you come back as a better person someday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Savage.
Thank you all for listening. I appreciate everyone who tunes into the show every week. Matt, what would you like the friends to know?
Well, you can find me, that's me, Define Prog, on all the social medias, such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc., under Define Prog, that's DifineProg, or you can find my self-published comic book called DSEray, that's DiesIrae, on Comixology.
Aaron?
I don't do much on the internet, nor in physical reality at this point. But if you check out DaytonBlackBox.com, the theater where I did perform, some people are working on seeing if we can do internet stuff, and maybe that'll happen.
Ooh,
that'd be cool.
That would be cool.
Stay tuned. Until then, you're a Destructor Discord exclusive.
That's right.
And Jason.
Yo, you can find me on Twitter and occasionally Instagram and twitch.tv, all under the name JCavs, JayCalves.
You can follow this show on Twitter at Destructo_Disc, DISC. Pinned there is an invitation to join our fan Discord, and we also accept emails to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And if you would be so kind, please give this show a rating and a review on your podcast service of choice so that others may find it. And please make it a 4-star rating for the 4-star Dragon Ball.
For Gohan. For Grandpa Gohan. For our Gohan.
Yeah.
For the great Saiyaman, who is Gohan.
Yeah. And tune in next week for the last episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh. This has been Destructo Discourse, and we're just getting warmed up. If the road ahead you seem so cold and gray, when night never turns to day, don't you be afraid, you'll fly away. Chala, chala, no time to hear. Surprise! Oh. Chala, hey, chala. Be cool, don't be afraid. You got the power to get you through the night. Oh, chala, hey, chala. No time to hesitate.